Welcome to HeadFlex, the podcast where you can listen to real-time coaching conversations to learn more about coaching and yourself.
Join us, Rebecca and Diane, coaches with years of experience, to flex the sometimes messy hot topics in the workplace that we don't always talk about.
What gets in the way of quality thinking? Do you work with people who help you think well? And how do you help others think well? In this episode, we will be flexing the concept of quality thinking and challenging you to think about how you create space for new ideas, different options, and new perspectives. We'll also take you through some practical steps to help you create quality thinking space for yourself and your colleagues. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Diane. Welcome to our HeadFlex podcast. Remember to stay tuned for the self-coaching questions at the end of the podcast so you can reflect on the subject and find your own answers.
So the quality of our work and our team performance and even our company results often relies on the quality of our thinking. And yet we don't often discuss the conditions we need to create that quality thinking. You know, we launch into outcomes or project plans. We'll talk about roles and responsibilities. We might be sharing our opinions and poring over budgets. But we do this often without pausing to think about what we need from each other. What conditions do we require to help create quality thinking? And what might get in the way of us being able to think well together, and therefore what might stop us reaching the right answer? Some of you may have come across the work of Nancy Klein, who has dedicated much of her working life to helping people think well. One of her quotes that really stopped me in my tracks, I think, when I try to weave into my work as a coach is, you know, the quality of everything we do depends on the quality of the thinking we do first. And the quality of our thinking depends on the way we treat each other while we are thinking. So when we talk about quality thinking, we have to start with how we treat each other while we are thinking. What does that look like collectively, and how do we as individuals help others to think? Quality thinking also relies on us answering the right question. And sometimes we can assume too much about the question we're trying to solve. The work of Hal Gregerson and his wonderfully titled Question Burst approach also helps to create quality thinking. Question bursts are designed to allow us to work out the great questions we need to ask ourselves to help us get to the root of the problem. If you haven't come across his work before, I'd really encourage you to take a look. But there's so much that we could discuss in this episode, Diane. So I think we should focus on raising everyone's awareness, really, of how you will think and what you could try out with your colleagues or even your friends and family to help create quality thinking. So in this episode, we're going to explore what quality thinking looks like and feels like. What gets in the way of quality thinking, and how can we help create thinking environments at work?
Wow, yes, lots to think about there in terms of, you know, what we mean by thinking. And sometimes that's often related to talking, isn't it? We need to really deepen our thinking to be able to speak our thoughts and articulate those thoughts with others. And we all need different things to actually be able to do that really well. So I love this topic. It's brilliant and something that we've done quite a lot of work on ourselves, isn't it? So really, really keen to get into this one. So I'd love to start then with what quality thinking looks and feels like. When I was listening to the intro, I was thinking about listening, actually, and I'm thinking about attention and how we give attention to ourselves, but also that attention to others. And it, you know, made me have a little bit of a wry smile there where you said, you know, how we actually create a thinking environment for our friends and family. You know, imagine actually listening to our friends and family. Fantastic. And something that I think is missing, that actual quality attention, giving somebody all of your attention, being absolutely present for that person to really allow them to think well. And there's another Nancy Klein quote that jumped into my head then, which was, the quality of your attention determines the quality of other people's thinking. And I love that because it's so true, isn't it? If you're not being listened to and you've not got someone's attention, then you really don't think well and you probably stop articulating those thoughts.
And we don't often think about how we intentionally give our attention. That's quite a tongue twister.
Yeah, easy.
But, you know, we don't, you know, that intention to really show up for somebody, to give them your attention, we tend to kind of be rushing into conversations or discussions, or we're trying to get to an answer. And so we end up bypassing that really quality thinking that could get us to an even better place or deepen our relationships or create better connections. And so what we'd love people to do while listening to this podcast today is just thinking, okay, what is it about the way that we give attention to people that helps create that quality thinking?
Yeah.
So for me, that's how do I listen without interrupting somebody? What do I do before I actually even walk into a meeting with somebody or maybe have a conversation that's a really important conversation with somebody? How am I feeling? What do I need to let go of before I even start to have that conversation to think well with somebody?
And that's something that we as coaches have to think about a lot, isn't it? You know, and it's something that I know we put a lot of work into ourselves is to make sure that when we go into a coaching session with somebody, that we really are doing that with intention to be of service to them. And that is absolutely being present, really listening and giving them our absolute full attention. And, you know, if there are distractions, if there are things going on, if we've had a really busy day, it's about sort of putting that to one side and really intentionally sitting in that space with somebody, holding that space for them to allow them to really think about something. And we have a big part to play in that. And I think it's something that we really do need to do every time, every session, every person.
And we can take that out into conversations just with colleagues, with each other, with friends and family, you know. So it's how do we give attention? How do we create lovely thinking together without rushing or that urgency? You know, life is busy. You know, we are often running at full pelt. And so thinking tends to be squeezed into those spaces that we try and find. And that's never going to be our best thinking, particularly in a working environment. So how do you help create a sense of ease and create a pace that's useful for thinking?
Yeah, I think we're often rushing for conclusions and actions, aren't we? And we miss the middle step of really giving it real thought. And I think sometimes giving some attention to that actual, the environment in which we have those conversations, where we are feeling at ease, where we are feeling comfortable, where we're feeling that people are, you know, there to give us attention, to listen to what we have to say, you know, distraction-free environment can really make a difference as well. So really thinking about not just how we show up, but where we have those conversations to get the best out of it. I don't know, how do you think best? What works for you?
I need some reflection time. So I'm somebody that time alone or time to reflect is really important for me. And I need to be really intentional about it. I have to try and quieten things. I have to turn phones off, you know, turn the email notifications off and really give my full attention to that thinking. And also if I'm thinking with somebody else, I mean, we've had to do a lot of thinking together. Mm-hmm. And so it's quietening all the stuff that I've got going on, or at least talking it out loud to you first.
Yeah.
To then say, okay, now I'm ready to really properly give this some quality time without rushing, without going full pelt. So there is something there about how we all think differently as yes. well.
Yes, I know what you're going to say here. I know where this is going.
Well, you are much more of an action-oriented thinker, and we would never have got off the ground with this podcast if you hadn't held us to account and, you know, pushed us forward. And that's been so valuable. And your patience with me has been much, much well-received, very well-received.
But isn't that the beauty of the collaboration, though, isn't it? You know, your pace is different from mine. You're more reflective, and you therefore push me that little bit and give me that nudge to maybe put more thought into it so that my active thinking can just be more considered. And that's brilliant. And, you know, I love that. And maybe my active thinking can nudge your reflection a little bit further along to move into to where we actually, you know, do get something done. So it's worked really well for us. But actually, I think the most important thing in this and noticing this and you know, maybe sharing this as well, is that be mindful of each other. We're different. Everyone's different. And so take time to know the people that you're working with and thinking with and collaborating with. And, you know, the active thinkers may need a slightly faster pace, but they may need to be slowed a little. The reflectors need the space to reflect, but might need the nudge to move on a little bit, and everything in between, you know? And I think that's a really important thing about giving someone your attention, is giving them the attention in a way that they need it rather than a way that suits you. And that's really putting yourself to one side and actually being present for that person to allow somebody to really think. And of course, that comes through the quality of your listening. And, you know, I'm sure we can do a whole podcast on listening. But when we think about listening, it's very much about, you know, how obvious is it when someone's not listening?
Yeah, very. Very. Even my toddler back in the day called me out on that, but we can save that for another time. I think if you think about this from a work context, you know, we all have a responsibility to think about how are we enabling ourselves and others to think well together. So noticing when you might be jumping in with ideas before fully listening and reflecting on what somebody else has said. How much are you building on what somebody has said rather than just purely jumping in with your own idea and therefore distorting the kind of the natural flow of a conversation or quality thinking? What does this situation require of you in terms of your thinking? Is this a time for actually we need to be action-oriented and we need to be in there, or we need to be reflective, or actually this is really about listening? So what is it about your thinking that's going to help somebody else with their own thinking, and how are you creating that with your colleagues? So yeah, there's lots of areas where it's just thinking, how are you individually helping yourself and others with quality thinking? I think it's such a great question.
Yeah. And I think if you take that in across to somebody in a position of leadership, you know, are you actually really listening and showing up for the people that are working with you? Or have you sometimes got into that habit of having to have all the answers, or feeling that you should have all the answers because you're in the leadership position? Are you really open and giving people time to come to you with ideas and to talk to you about, you know, projects and talk to you about things that you know, might be going on for them? Are you missing anything because of how you're showing up as a listener or the person giving that other person attention? And I think that's, you know, like you said, question yourself. If you're in a position of leadership, are you actually really listening? And I think as a parent, are we really listening to our children all the time?
Depends what they're talking to me about. Or we can interview them on the podcast. So I guess what gets in the way of quality thinking, you know, we can talk about, yes, it's, you know, we can do all of these things, but actually there are lots of things that can get in the way of our ability to think well, either by ourselves or as a group of people. So why do we find it hard? What comes up, do you think, in your coaching sessions or for you? That's in the way of you thinking.
Yeah, I think if I think about it in terms of what comes up in coaching, I think often, you know, there's a link to confidence, you know, not feeling that people want to hear their contribution, or not feeling that they're, you know, quite as experienced or maybe know enough or know as much as somebody else, and therefore have that thing there where they're actually holding themselves back a little bit and really not able to go in and open all those little doors in your brain to really think about something. And I think, you know, simply not being listened to is a huge barrier. For me, assumptive listening is the thing that really stops my thinking, and it really stops me in my tracks. You know, when somebody's almost finishing your sentence, has already decided what it is you're going to say before you've even said it. The yeah, you know, those sorts of responses, I find that incredibly disruptive to my thinking, and I actually stop thinking and will often stop talking at that point. And then But generally in the sessions, there can be a lot of complexities around that. And I think competition comes into it, certainly. You know, people feeling that they need to have a better idea than somebody else, and they're therefore aren't really listening to other people's ideas because they're so focused on your own idea, and therefore that interrupts somebody else's thinking. I think sometimes if people feel intimidated as well, that can stop your thinking. You know, if you feel almost that, you know, you're not at ease, like we talked about earlier, you know, you just don't feel comfortable. What about you, Rebecca? What do you notice and what do you need?
Yeah, oh gosh, all of that that you mentioned. For me, it is very much about when I feel like there's deep collaboration and trust and respect. So, you know, if I think about how we've worked together, the reason that, you know, you've been able to say to me, come on, we just need to get on with this now. And I at times have been able to say, I think we just need to give that a bit more thought, is because I feel we have trust and we have respect for each other and what we both bring to that. That for me helps create good quality thinking because I'm at ease then with that. And if I think back to times when I worked in corporate life, then that was, you know, very apparent, was when voices were really heard and mattered, and where people were building on each other's thinking, and where there was a real intention for everyone to be in that room together, and that those voices mattered and everybody's brains were important.
Mm.
And so when somebody's voice is really loud and they want to dominate and drive, then that you just see it. People shut down. You know, it's like shoulders droop and that sort of quality. I mean, I think about it when I'm thinking about kind of kids' football, you know, when you sort of see parents yelling at kids from the sidelines and their sort of their ability to think well as players, little players on the pitch kind of goes and their shoulders drop. And they don't play as well because they can't think as well because they're feeling like they're not living up to expectations. So how you treat somebody absolutely affects their ability to think well and show up well.
And I love what you were saying there. I mean, I love the analogy of the football because it's so true, isn't it? That's so interrupting people's thinking with the shouting. And then you talked about building. You know, building on someone's ideas. If we're so conscious to contribute our own ideas, we're not building on what somebody else has actually come up with first. And that's where the magic happens sometimes, isn't it? Where we're actually, you know, that idea of everyone really working together and really valuing each other's brains. It's not about what you've got to say almost. It's what you've got to add and what we can really start to make bigger and better together. And that's dropping the ego sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I noticed myself going, yes, yes. But only because I was agreeing with you.
It was reassuring.
Because I wanted to jump in, yeah.
I liked it.
But it is making me think about some of the things that we've seen others and advice that maybe we've given into clients on how you help kind of create better thinking environments. Because one of those areas is around questions, isn't it? You know, we're often trying to get to the answers. I think it was Peter Drucker that said, the important, difficult job is never to find the right answers. It's actually to find the right questions.
Yeah, and that directly relates in my head to ego. It's not about having a brilliant question. It's not my question that's making the difference. And I'm amazing. Listen to my amazing question. Your question is always in service of the thinker. Not easy to do. Not easy to do in a work environment. But if you can, you know, so powerful. Put yourself to one side, put the ego down, make a great question because it's a great question in service of the person.
And even just asking, oh my gosh, tell me a bit more about that. You know, just that one question, rather than jumping in with your own idea straight away, you suddenly start building on that. So yeah, that idea of really getting to the right question is important for that thinking environment. What else do you do or seen work, Diane, for clients around how they create quality thinking?
Yeah, so when thinking about trying to create those thinking environments, something that comes up a lot with teams you know, where, you know, it might be that maybe we work with an individual and then it becomes apparent that perhaps something crept into that team where they've stopped listening to each other. They've stopped giving each other the opportunity to really think and to really share some great ideas. And so sometimes with the team, then we'd start to work on really practical things. You know, how you structure a meeting. And something that we've done quite a lot, isn't it, is using rounds. And I think this is a great technique where you sort of set it up before the meeting. You know, this is what we're going to be discussing. We want everybody's opinion is really valued. We want to hear from everyone in the room. So what we'll do is we'll all take it in turns to speak. We have an order. You know, it might be if you're sat in a room together, we go round the room, I'll speak, and then you'll be next. And then the person on my, you know, on the left of you will be next. But you agree that you don't speak until the person has said they're done. And those two words, I'm done, really important, because it allows a thinker to know they're not going to be interrupted. And the power of not being interrupted is incredible. When you know no one's going to interrupt you, and you speak until you say, I'm done. And then the next person, they will speak until they're done. And you can do this on a screen, you know, just put the order in chat. And if something sparks as someone's talking and you think, I've got something to add. Oh, that's brilliant. You just write it down. And at the end, everyone again gets the opportunity. You know, does anyone want to share anything? Has anybody got any ideas that have come from what we've talked about? That's when the building happens, isn't it? That's when rather than, you know, somebody starts speaking, the first person, somebody else jumps in because they sparked a great idea. And then all of a sudden, we've lost whatever was to come next, and we lose, you know, all of the ideas. We've just focused just on one. So using rounds, I think, is really helpful. Mm. And maybe, again, if we're thinking about setting up a meeting, set up agenda points through questions. I know that's something you do quite a lot and encourage, isn't it?
Yeah. If you're thinking about how you get people to start thinking before they even walk into the room, then if you set an agenda as items, so rather than just saying a new business update, it's what are the biggest challenges this week about new business, it gets people to think differently, or immediately you're going to a kind of thinking place rather than just an action. And so that idea is so powerful. It really works. And also, just as individuals, you can just think, what do I need to do to be able to walk into this meeting, into this, whether that's a one-to-one with your manager or somebody in your team, or whether that's a big team meeting, or whether that's with, you know, a really deep conversation with a friend or a partner. What do I need to do to help myself show up with ease and to be able to give myself the attention and others the attention to create that quality thinking? We can all do that, regardless of seniority, how many years you've been working, what your role is. We can all play our role in doing that. So, yeah, I wish I'd thought about this more when I was in corporate life.
Oh, me too. Gosh, me too. It's almost like thinking about what those barriers are before you even go into that thinking environment, isn't it, into that meeting. Because some of those barriers we present for ourselves through our, you know, our confidence, whatever it might be. So, yeah, love that.
So before we're going to go into our self-coaching questions, but I think we've covered a lot of ground today, and I just encourage everyone to really think about what quality thinking looks like and feels like, and that lovely idea of kind of some of the things that you might put in place to help quality thinking over the coming months. So shall we kick off with our questions?
Let's go into the questions. So as always, at the end of our podcast, we leave you with some self-reflection questions, some self-coaching questions. So if you want to take a few minutes just to really pause and have a think about yourself and how you can help to create a quality thinking environment. So question one, what conditions help you and your colleagues, even your friends and family, to think well together? Question two, what's getting in the way of your ability to think well? And finally, what could you change to help grow quality thinking for yourself and for those around you?
Great questions. Maybe we should ask ourselves those, Diane, next time before we're going to do another podcast.
Good idea.
So thank you very much for a great conversation today. And thanks for listening in and flexing with us. And we look forward to next time.
Thanks very much. Thanks for flexing with us. Please rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen to your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
To find out more and join the conversation, go to headflex.co.uk.